show with me, Jake Berry, you can give me a call on 03444991000 because we want to know from you at home, do you support these new rules being brought in by the government to stop disruptive protests across the country? And if so, why? And joining me now to talk about this in more detail is writer and barrister Stephen Barrett. Stephen, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. Tell our viewers and listeners at home a little bit about what is changing with these new laws and why it may be required.
Well, we are sort of dancing at the point of angels dancing on the head of a pin. So we changed the wording of the laws about controlling protest. And we have, as everybody is in agreement, we have lowered the bar, so it will be slightly easier to police protests. But I think the most important point for your viewers and listeners is that we've always had powers to control protest. You know, and that it's absolutely fundamental to this country. If anything, our constitution is based upon one principle, which is that the worst thing that can happen is a riot. It goes all the way back to the French Revolution. We're terribly worried about the French Revolution. So we invent all sorts of laws to prevent riot, to control protest, to stop violent gatherings. We've always had these laws. What we don't have and what we've seen time after time after time on the streets of London is we have no will by either the Metropolitan Police Commissioner or his Police and Crime Commissioner, which is the Mayor of London. Both of them are sat at the top, because I've talked to serving officers that they have the will to police London and to have law and order. Everybody can see that this is not law and order, and yet there is no will to do it. So, again, I worry with these new laws coming in, what is the point of them if there will be no will to enforce them?
Well, look, let's talk a little bit about these new laws. It's great to have a barrister on the show. I'm a solicitor, I'm a lawyer as well. I've always wanted to be a barrister. Any job that involves wearing a wig is one I should apply for. But drilling down, as I understand it, I won't know as much about it as you do, but there are effectively two new main offences created. The first is a repeated breach of an injunction, and the second is locking on. Dealing with those in order, when I was at law school, a repeated breach of an injunction was already an offence, and also locking on, particularly in relation to the highways, disruption of the public highway. So I go back to that main question, and you sort of covered it to some extent. What I really want to drill down with you is, why do we need these new laws when existing laws exist? So I think 6 months imprisonment potentially for this, but actually these are already quite serious offences anyway, aren't they?
Yes, and you make a very good and informed legal point. Breaking an injunction is contempt of court, which is a very serious matter. And we had what we keep having, and I call it performative powerlessness, is we keep seeming to forget that you can actually enforce laws. When there was a disgusting criminal who refused to go to court to hear his sentencing. And again, a lot of people ran round like headless chickens and pretended that judge had no power to compel them. Judges have power to compel things. A judge makes an order, and then once the order is made, it's contempt of court to defy the order. We're moving into a place where people think we need specific laws against everything. We don't. We have quite general laws. So that's the first one on injunctions and on locking on. I mean, quite right. I mean, when I was 19 when I wrote about the fact that it's unlawful to block the highway, and I wrote then about the human rights implications and protest. You know, that was, I'm afraid, many decades ago, Jake. We have had these laws. What we do not have is any will to enforce them.
Correct. So there is also another thing in here about discouraging people from encouraging protest online. Is that required? Because we live in a technological world. We've just been discussing dating apps and the new way of the world. Maybe the new way of the world is to encourage people to protest online. Is that required?
Well, we have a really serious law with 7 to 12 years in prison for supporting terrorist organisations. And I think I've seen...
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? You can draw a line between saying, you know, turn up outside an art gallery to disrupt it because of Just Stop Oil because you care about the climate crisis. That is not encouraging a terrorist organisation.
No, it isn't. But the point I was making for that is that I have seen instances I would consider break that law. And again, no enforcement. And this seems to be the crisis that we're living through, is a total unwillingness to enforce the law. So what's the point of making loads of laws which are even, you know, easier to satisfy, easier to occur, if nonetheless we're not going to enforce them? And interestingly, Jake, on my way here, you know, I had to pass through the ticket barrier at London Bridge Station, and two young men, I had somebody with me, so we were using the double barrier.
Yeah.
Two young men were waiting on the other side, obviously waiting for me to use my ticket. I was stood next to an employee of TfL. I put my ticket through, the barrier opens, two young men come past me, Obviously unlawfully. And nobody does anything about it.
But doesn't this sort of link into what the Prime Minister has warned about Britain descending into to mob rule, which we see on the BBC today? He's warned police chief that there's a growing consensus that mob rule is replacing democratic rule. That, I think, is not just linked to this law, but it's also linked to those repeated protests we've seen in the centre of London. Has Rishi got a point about that?
Well, yes. And ultimately, if you do not enforce laws, you do not have laws. You know, you can write down as many as you want. You and your colleagues can, you know, keep typing as many as you want and publishing them in the books, but if nobody's enforcing them, they don't exist.
That is the profundatory of politics, the fact that we keep passing these new laws and everyone ignores them. Becca, I see you sort of there. If I don't let you in, I think you're about to shout over the top of us anyway.
You're rolling your eyes
about this mob rule point. Do you think Rishi's wrong about that?
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I think, you know, the fact is these are... I think the reason that we're having this conversation is because they don't like the protests. You know, the fact is these are people marching in solidarity with a cause that this government is not hugely sympathetic with. I'm sure if it was Countryside Alliance or something, they would be a lot more generous. But the fact is these are causes...
Or against the
government,
ECHR.
I mean, you'd
or
be out there.
Or afraid of the ECHR. Yeah, there might be a protest you'd want.
I think this is to do with protests that we don't like. And I think
what do we want? Foreign judges telling us what to do.
Including when
we want to.
Stop.
Oh, we've already got that.
Behave yourself.
So we're just signing up to the rules that we wrote ourselves, maybe, is what yes. I quite like.
Look, but Becca, if we never changed laws, we'd still have people walking in front of cars waving red flags. In fact, you could have that in most parts. You could have that in most parts of Wales at the moment, because you're not allowed to go faster than 20 miles an hour. Matthew, what do you think about these laws?
I think there is an issue about how they're being enforced. I think a lot of people were very upset, quite rightly, when we saw in the protests before Christmas people climbing on the cenotaph, etc. And I think we need common sense, but I don't think we need yet another set of rules. And I think Rishi can talk all he likes about mob rule, but he's going to disappoint his base if he doesn't enforce it. I mean, the irony is, remember when he did his press conference a few weeks ago and everybody thought he was about to announce the election date and the lectern was outside in Downing Street, came out to give his anti-mob rule statement. You could barely hear it because at the Downing Street gates, people were shouting him down. So it just seemed to be completely performative.
On these protests that we've seen in central London, there's a bit of a feeling, we've heard people talk about it, that there's been an uneven application of the law, that people say they've been very lightly policed. There was a disgraceful video that was covered on many news outlets about a Metropolitan Police officer saying that a swastika is not necessarily anti-Semitic. You have to look at the context. I mean, this is clearly wrong. What can we do to get the police to sort of toughen up on these protests and enforce the existing rules we have?
So what has happened is that over a process of 30 years, power has moved away from accountability. So we have constantly taken power away from democratically accountable individuals, away from ministers. We saw it, we had an issue with the Sentencing Council this week where they want dangerous criminals let out if they had a difficult childhood or if they come from certain groups. Now, that's a political decision. That really should be made by a minister who is accountable. And if the people don't like it, then that minister should be, you know, the press and the public should scream till they're blue in the face, and the minister should be sacked. That's our constitutional process of accountability. And when you don't have that anymore, when power has moved out of accountability...
Well, but you have said, you're sort of slightly undermining yourself, ever, Your Honour, or as you might say in the courtroom, my learned friend, because you're saying that, of course, Sadiq Khan is supposed to be responsible. He is ultimately elected. We are probably not going to see a massive vote against Sadiq Khan because he's lost control of the streets of London, even though many people have said that he has lost control.
Yes. So the creation of PCCs was an attempt to bring accountability back to democracy through the police forces. It fails because it's so scattered and diverse. If you put the power in one person, the Home Secretary, then we could all watch them, we can all pay attention to them, and we can keep the Home Secretary accountable.
It's not just that the power is diverse. The problem with the Police and Crime Commission is they literally have no powers because they're not allowed to operationally direct. Right. So if you're the Police and Crime Commission, you can say, I would like you to stop people climbing on war memorials. It's entirely up to the Chief Constable whether they do it. And remember, everybody in England has a vote for either their mayor or their PCC.
I think the point Stephen makes so well is there is a law that could stop people climbing on war memorials. It's about whether it's enforced or not. And that's why we want to hear from you at home today on 0344 499 1000, because the big question we're asking you, our amazing viewers and listeners, is do you agree that the government is right to toughen up these laws on protests? And if so, why? Well, we wait to hear from you, particularly by text, because we want to enjoy the joy of text coming up in about 20 minutes. This is Talk TV. I'll see you straight after the break.